When you need to work quickly and confidently across different apps and platforms, consistent quality communication is key. Whether you're writing documents, emails, or presentations, you need Grammarly. It's an AI writing partner that helps you get your work done faster with better writing. It's always there to help because it works where you work, across 500,000 apps and websites, so you can get more done no matter where you're writing. Grammarly is the gold standard of responsible AI, trusted by millions of professionals for 15 years. It gives you personalized writing suggestions based on your audience, goals, and context, plus tone suggestions to help you navigate even the most difficult work conversations. 96% of users agree Grammarly helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Grammarly. Easier said, done.
Everyone, to the Catlin Autocast. My name is Peter Klein. Thank you very much for tuning in today, rejuvenated after a trip to Mexico, and happy to talk some Blue Jays baseball with you guys today. Coming up on the show, we're going to be talking about the new approach to the lineup for the Blue Jays and what we can expect from that lineup. A couple players who look like they might be fitting in really well with this team, the latest on the starting rotation, Joey Votto, and a whole lot more. But we begin today looking at how the Blue Jays will be beginning their regular season, and that is with Jose Berríos as their number one starter. And this one, like, there's a number of different ways to look at it. First of all, I'm just excited for him. And I understand, opening day starter, it's opening day, it's one day, it's whatever. But considering what this guy has gone through to get to this point, considering how bad it was a couple of seasons ago, and then how concerned everyone was coming into spring training last season. Do you think about where we were a year ago? Berríos had got shelled all season long, then went to the World Baseball Classic and got shit kicked. And it was, oh boy, what do we have here? And he was exceptional. All season long, he was everything that the Blue Jays needed him to be. And then there's the whole wild card game scenario that has some problems for how the Blue Jays handled Jose Berríos. But now he has worked through that. He has been great this spring, and he has earned this opportunity to be the number one starter for the Blue Jays. Now, part of it is he gets it because Kevin Gausman's hurt. It's obvious that the guy who was a Cy Young finalist last year would have got the ball if he was healthy. But he's not. Jose Berríos absolutely deserves this. And really, once Gausman went down, he was the obvious choice, right? Like, Kikuchi, great. Bassett, fine. Francis and White, maybe. Manoah is hurt. So this one, like, Berríos is the one who kind of stands out. And what a luxury it is where, like, Jose Berríos, to steal a turn of phrase from the Men in Blazers podcast, the Yankees would bite their arm off for a Jose Berríos following off on a Gerrit Cole injury the way that Berríos is doing with Kevin Gausman right now. There are a lot of teams where Berríos would be a number one dude, but he's the number two here in Toronto and now fills in admirably here in this number one spot. Hopefully, he is not the number one pitcher all season long. I would imagine Gausman is back. Maybe a turn through the rotation, maybe two, and then he is back. But this was the obvious choice. But it, like, the rotation drama coming into training camp or spring training here, it's kind of gone away, right? Like, it's all sorted itself out. We wanted to see what Manoah was going to look like. Well, he's looked hurt. And so he's not going to be ready to start the season. So now that one, I think, pretty clearly goes to Bowden Francis. And then Mitch White, who has not been overly impressive this spring, just kind of gets the fifth starter spot by default with Kevin Gausman going down. And the Blue Jays are starting the year. I believe it's Tampa Bay and Houston. So domes. So they are, like, there's no days off for the Blue Jays in the first little bit. They have to roll with five starters, so there isn't even an opportunity to skip any of the guys. So right now, the rotation feels very set. And this is kind of the point where after this, you start to get very concerned about who's coming in from a Blue Jays standpoint. And like, I feel fine with Bowden Francis. We did the breakout candidates a couple of weeks ago, and he was one of them. Like, I think that there is another level that this guy can find. So we are totally on the Catalan Autocast. We are fine with Bowden Francis getting this opportunity as the number five starter. It's the Mitch White part of it that is so frustrating, because you can see the stuff is there. Like, his fastball is 96, 98 a bit this spring. Like, he is bringing it. And I understand it's spring training and all of this, the whole show today. The whole caveat of don't want to overreact to spring stats and spring showings and whatever, right? But boy, he's missing his spot a lot. Like, it feels like he is missing a lot. And when he's missing, it's either a non-competitive ball or it is like middle at 86 and it's just kaboom and off it goes. Like, that, it's concerning how he is missing, but he is going to get opportunity after opportunity. And if the Blue Jays weren't starting the season with him on the roster, he would probably be a waiver claim because he's out of options right now. So I do think another team would claim him because he can throw 98 and can give you 5 to 6 innings. Like, that's a very tantalizing skill set to have. It's just the rest of it that has been a bit of a problem. So for him, it's just a matter of, like, if he can hit his spots when the lights are shining bright, if he can hit his spots, the stuff is there. And it, again, starts to extend this pitching staff where we were talking last year. It felt like the Blue Jays had 4 major league pitchers. When Ryu came back, they had 5 major league starters. This year, it feels like it's about 7, maybe 8, depending on what Manoah can actually be. That is a whole lot better, and you feel a whole lot better about it coming into this season. But we are at that point now where anything else goes wrong, and you're hoping for rain. But right now, what was a strength of the Blue Jays last season does look like it is probably going to be pretty strong again this year. The offensive part of it is the part that everyone has been focused on the entire offseason. I still don't think the Blue Jays did enough to address it. And now into spring training, it has been like, this offense needs to be better. And the thing that gives me hope that it might actually be is the approach at the plate feels so much more mature this year than it did last year. And again, it is spring, and a lot of these results that we're seeing are major league hitters getting good contact off of AAA and AA pitchers. So yes, I understand that what the Blue Jays are seeing against Baltimore on a Tuesday in Clearwater or wherever is not going to be the same as when they break camp and face the Rays in a couple of weeks' time. But one thing that has been really nice to see is that this is a team that has a real good approach at the plate. And that was not the case last year. The Blue Jays have good hitters. They just didn't approach things well enough. There was a lot of wasted at-bats with this Toronto team. And it really does seem like the new approach of being a bit more patient and waiting for your pitch has paid off a little bit. Again, it's spring, it's whatever. But this team is jumping on mistakes. And they are, there's been a real kind of force of, all right, let's lock in on one spot, one pitch, and when we get that, we're going to pounce on it. There's still some bad swing decisions, for sure, and it's baseball, right? Like, you have a tenth of a second to decide whether you're going to swing or not. But it does seem like this approach is paying off quite a bit for this team, and it feels like they are buying into it really well and have been effective with it in the spring. Again, it's the spring, but I do think that this is the way you should approach things at the plate at the big league level. Another thing that has really stood out to me here in the last little bit has been the play of Dalton Varsho. And I didn't really mention him as a breakout candidate a couple of weeks ago, but he is playing like he could be right now. The swing looks better this year. It feels like there's a bit more explosion to it. We'll see when we get to the regular season and teams start spamming that high fastball again. We will see what he is actually able to do with that. But it does feel like he is seeing the ball really well right now, and everything he is hitting it really hard. And when you look at last year, it was obviously a down year, and you could use it as an excuse or a reason that he was like, new team, they gave up a lot of pressure. Let's try to go out and do everything. He's hitting cleanup. And he just tried to do too much. But when you look at it, like his home runs, his isolated power, his batting average, and his weighted runs created plus last year were all down. And most of them, it's a 3-year sample size because when he was a rookie, he played like 53 games. But for the 3 years that he was consistently a big league player, a lot of those were the lowest with the Blue Jays. And then you look at some of the other stats and his walk rate was the same. His K rate was the same. And his BABIP was actually down from the year before. Not significantly. Like it was, I think it was 265, 285, and then down to 253. So not to a point where it was like, oh, well, he was just, clearly he was unlucky. But it does explain a difference between a 230 batting average and a 250 batting average, which is right around where he hovers. I do think that there is, I don't want to say a breakout, but I do think there's an improvement coming with Varsho this year. Like I said before, I think he is someone who will really benefit from this improved approach to the plate, laying off those high fastballs. He needs to do the old FP Santangelo thing. That's two generations from now. But he would always get up there and put his batting helmet down like way over his eyes, and he wouldn't even be able to see that high pitch. A bit exaggerated, but worked for him. He was a fine hitter. But I do think that there is a little bit more for Varsho. And like not every stat points toward it. His hard hit percentage was down last season. The line drives were the same. So that's good, I think. Like it just, there wasn't anything that seemed to suggest that, oh no, this is the new norm for him. I do think that there is going to be a bit of a bounce back. He's not going to hit 285 with 30 home runs or anything like that. But if he can be 250 and hover around 20, that is an improvement from 220 and 10 last season. So I think, again, with this new approach and with just things working out a little bit better for him in ways that they normally have in his career, I do think that we're going to see a different Dalton Varsho this year, and that helps this lineup out immensely. Probably have gone too long without talking about the big news of the last couple of weeks. Last week, we did the top 10 Blue Jays of all time and the all-time Blue Jays starting lineup. So didn't get to touch on the Joey Votto news. It's just cool to see him in a Blue Jays uniform. And we only got him for basically one swing. But it's been great to see him as a Blue Jay and really embrace this role. Like, no, I'm a minor leaguer. Signed that contract. So I'm riding the bus, hanging out with the minor leaguers. This is my thing. And it sucks that he got the ankle injury just stepping into the dugout. I do think we see him in a Blue Jays uniform. I don't know if that is necessarily going to be at the end of the month here when the team breaks camp. Just this injury, I think, sets things back a little bit. But I would suggest before May 1st, we see him as a Blue Jay. Swig of water for the working man. I do think at some point, sorry about that. I do think at some point, in the first month of the season, he gets the call. And whether it is because of an injury, it would probably specifically have to be an injury to Vogelbach, or Vogelbach's hitting 158 with two home runs and, or no home runs, I guess. And it's just, it's not working and you just get rid of him. But I know that, like they talked about it on At the Letters, that would actually be a bit more expensive for a Blue Jays team that does feel like they're right at the ceiling of their budget. But I think that Votto fills in that spot well. He is still a very cliche, but professional hitter. And I think a valuable lefty bat off of the bench as the season goes on. So I would be surprised if we don't see Joey Votto. Just not right away. As the spring is winding down, we talked about some spring training battles coming into the season. One feels like it's kind of getting there. And that's Ernie Clement feels like he's going to make this team. You hear a lot of Blue Jays reporters talking about how glowingly the team talks about him. And he is out of options. And it does sound like there would be a team that would claim him. Like he'd be the starter on Oakland this year. And probably a couple of other teams. Like he might make the Tigers as like a starter. And I was not impressed with him last season, but it does seem like there have been improvements again at the plate, again at spring. But it does seem like the swing has improved and just kind of tightened up a little bit. Defensively, he has been quite good, and you feel comfortable with him at a number of different positions. Just the more this goes on, the more I really believe, pause for dramatic effect, that Santiago Espinal is not on the Blue Jays by the end of spring training. If it is a late trade, if it's just DFA'd or whatever, he has not hit the ball well at all this spring. He has fielded it fine. Aside from that real burst at the start of the season a couple of years ago where he made an all-star team, it just hasn't been there. And now, positionally, he can play third, he can play short, but Clement can play the outfield along with all the other infield positions. Schneider can play the outfield along with all the other outfield positions. Both of them are faster than he is. And so it feels like none of the boxes that you're going down check for Santiago Espinal over a Schneider or over a Clement. So I feel like there's a move there for Toronto to either trade it for a bit of starting pitching depth or some outfield depth or something. But I would be surprised at this point if Ernie Clement wasn't on the team and if Santiago Espinal was on the team when they break camp here in a couple of weeks. As we get closer to the season, going to be doing a few more season preview type things. Today we're looking at the lineup. The top four is strong, right? Springer was good last year and is hitting the ball really well this spring. Feels like he's kind of rounding into form. Bo is Bo. I am one of the people who believe that Vlad Guerrero Jr. is ready for a breakout in the upcoming season. And then Justin Turner, RBI guy is a phrase from 30 years ago, but he just feels like that. His approach, again, that's been the name of the show so far, but his approach to the plate has been excellent throughout his entire career. He knows what to do in situations with runners on, with nobody on, with two out, different counts. He gets hitting. And so I think having that kind of mature approach to the plate is really going to help this team. Sorry, I didn't do this yesterday because I was having a bit of a sickness thing, and that appears to be continuing today. But I just feel like he is going to be such a strong presence behind those guys. It feels like there's going to be a couple of innings where first two guys get on or whatever, and then Turner's able to drive them home. And that was not something, aside from Belt for a bit last year, but that just wasn't something that you felt comfortable with this Blue Jays team from a year ago. So I do think that Turner, while it's underwhelming that he's the biggest addition of the offseason, is actually going to be really great with what they need. Just guys who can drive in those runs that they weren't driving in a year ago. And I understand RBI is a debated stat among some, but the Blue Jays, quite frankly, didn't score enough runs last year, and this guy drives them in. So, makes sense to me, right? After that, you're going to need some guys to step up. We already talked about how Varsho, I think, will step up. It seems like Alejandro Kirk is ready for a bounce back. He had the abbreviated spring last year. Awesome reasons. He became a father. That's sweet. But now he is fully in camp. He is spraying the ball all around the field with power. So I think that this is going to be a player who I think has, again, a bounce back season for this team here in 2024. He is just such a talented hitter. I'll be interested to see where he fits into the lineup. Right now he's scheduled in as the catcher with Danny Jansen getting banged up. And that, unfortunately, is a part of the Danny Jansen experience. Jansen, when healthy, has been hitting the cover off the baseball the last couple of seasons. And I feel like he has figured out the major league hitting thing. And it's unfortunate he keeps getting banged up. But when he is healthy, he's the everyday catcher. And you're not taking Turner out of the DH spot. So I'm interested to see where Kirk kind of fits in all of this season. He'll definitely get his plate appearances, for sure. But interested to see where he fits in. Kiermaier was excellent and did everything you wanted from a number 9 hitter. He's up in the 7 hole this year, probably ahead of IKF. And then Biggio, Schneider, Clement, whoever. Maybe Espinal. So I think there might be a touch more responsibility for him this year, and I think he'll be fine in that. And then at the bottom, Biggio is just an on-base machine. I am so excited to see what he can get in consistent playing time, and IKF will just see what they get. So that's just a quick overview of what we have with the Blue Jays lineup this year. All right, that's going to do it for the show. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. We only have one more of these before the season gets going. We will look at X Factors next week and all the news from spring training. You can follow me on social media at Primetime Klein. Thanks for watching. Talk to you or listening. Talk to y'all later. I'm out.